This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line podcast network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line podcast network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins a national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
Good morning. It's nice to have the sun shining today after yesterday, where I don't know if people feel like this sometimes. I mean, you can post this on social media, and maybe this is the case that how some people feel about it. You know, we had the threat of some major storms where I live yesterday. I know Northwest Arkansas actually got quite a bit, a little power pack storm with some hail. Central Arkansas was mostly spared almost any kind of precipitation. You ever find yourself disappointed when there's like the tornado watch and you end up getting absolutely nothing going on outside? Now, I'm not like disappointed in it, but it's almost like you get yourself like hyped up to be prepared to, you know, have a plan, it's felt like a foregone conclusion. I wasn't going to be able to sleep for a while, and then nothing happened. It was just dark, and that was it, and ended up being a pretty nice night. So it was almost like a slight disappointment, but not really, because I don't want the violent storms coming through. I don't want to have to worry about dodging branches.
Right, you got to be prepared. Isn't that what they say? I think it's a little bit like doctors. A doctor doesn't make any money if he doesn't prescribe you a prescription that says you got to come back every 3 months. Same thing with these newscasters. They don't make any. It's clicks. It's, oh, the storm's coming. Oh, and it's like, come on, get out of here.
All I can do is react to it. So
anyway. Yeah, but they don't make any money if they don't say come back. You got to check in real quick. So they keep it going. Same with doctors. We're over prescribed. It's like, man, everybody doesn't need all this stuff.
Do we do the same thing sometimes as sportscasters previewing a season for a team? You know, we get accused of overhyping sometimes. You know, people have texted in during the football season, during the basketball season. I haven't seen it yet during the baseball season yet, but. You know, I'd say like every 3 or 4 days, you get a message from a listener, whether it's on your various social media accounts or on our McLarty Daniel text line, which is 877-377-6463, that you guys did it again. Look, you got us all hyped up for a great season and this team sucks. I don't know. But in that case, nobody's all like fired up that you're bad.
You're trying to sell season tickets. So you're right. That's why they hype it up. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're trying to make sure that you're listening to the broadcast, too. But, hey, I buy into the hype with baseball. I bought into the hype with basketball because of the track record of Eric Musselman. And I'm buying into whatever hype comes up for next year for Cal's first team at Arkansas. You know, maybe football it was a little bit more hope than anything else. But I guess I was hoping that we wouldn't have any violent storms. We ended up not having them, so that's a good thing. Hey, Did you see, like, so last night, it's SEC softball tournament time, Matt. In a couple of weeks, baseball will be playing, probably, yeah. They'll be playing by now. As long as they secure that bye from the first round of the SEC tournament, a couple of wins is going to do that for you. I think also at the same time getting you a top eight national seed for the postseason. But in 2 weeks, it will be day three of the SEC baseball tournament. So that means there's a very good chance, Matt, that the night before somebody played in a game that lasted until after midnight. And that happened yesterday at the SEC tournament. Even though there are seven inning games in softball, there were two games that went 14 innings. And the last game, South Carolina at Mizzou, started at 6 minutes after 10 o'clock and didn't get finished until after midnight. I think not too far after midnight, but still a game that starts on a Wednesday and then ends on a Thursday means you've had a pretty long night. Hogs could be facing the same situation in a couple of weeks because if they're the fourth seed in the SEC tournament, then you're playing the last game in Hoover, which means whenever they told you the first pitch time is
2 hours.
You better hope that there isn't any rain. You better hope nobody goes extra innings.
Plus two hours, yeah.
And it also feels like, Matt, those tournaments are the reason why the pitch timer was invented. Because otherwise, it's like a guarantee someone's playing until midnight.
Man, I don't know about you, Phil. I always like to play the 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock game, no matter what the sport is. I did not like sitting around all day waiting to go play. You know, coaches do a good job of trying to keep you rested and keep you focused, and you got stuff you can do. But yeah, man, then it's a whole process because, you know, after a football, basketball game, whatever, baseball game, you can't sleep anyways for a couple hours. You know, it's going to take you a while to wind down. So, you know, you won't be getting to bed till 4:30 in the morning. So it kind of sets you off for the whole rest of the tournament. Much rather play around noon, 2-3 o'clock at the latest.
Oh, I tell you. And so the first session, I guess you'd say, begins at 9:30 Eastern time, which feels like, hey, that's a little bit early for baseball. I've called games at 10:30 in the morning. I'm pretty sure that I've been there for the 9:30 games because the two seed, like they set up, the number one seed gets, I guess what you would say is the best start time, which is the third game of the session, which generally is what, like 4 o'clock Eastern time? That's a sweet spot. It's the Goldilocks spot. But the two seed has to be the early bird and be the worm at the same time and wake up at 5 o'clock and get out there for your batting practice, which for a 9:30 game is going to be about 8 to 8:30. So it is an early morning, but I'd much rather be waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning, knowing full well that I'm going to be tired enough to go to sleep and still wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and do it all over again the next day, then play the last game of the session, which, I mean, I've been there for it, and it lasted until 1:30 or 1:45 in the morning against Florida in 2015. And I don't know how they were able to come back and win the next day. They actually did. They came back and they actually lost the next day. So maybe that's a reason why. Anytime you stay up playing until 1:30 and it takes two more hours to go to sleep, yeah, I feel like you're going to be kind of stuck in the mud throughout the day. So who's going to be stuck in the mud today? I guess it's South Carolina because they had the game that ended after midnight. The Hogs should get started around 1 o'clock today. It's all dependent upon what time LSU and Tennessee finishes because it was LSU that got past Alabama in 14 innings yesterday, 3-2. I think they played like a full game. Did they play about a full game without scoring? Yeah, LSU scores in the sixth inning. Nobody scored again until the seventh. That's a full softball game right there, Matt, of absolutely no scoring whatsoever. And then the crazy one was Georgia and Auburn, which is played at Auburn's field because they're the host of the tournament this year, but they're the visiting team in this ball game. So Auburn scores 3 on a home run in the top of the 14th inning. Georgia hits 2 home runs to win it in the bottom of the 14th inning, and they get to celebrate on Auburn's home field. So just some craziness. And that's the reason that was the game that went, gosh, that was a 4 hour and 20 minute softball game. Softball games are not supposed to go that long. Oh, man. So what kind of fireworks will they have planned for us today? So it's the first, I guess now it's the softball postseason has started. Nobody worries about the softball tournament the way we do about the baseball tournament, in which everyone always is like, no, don't even worry about when, don't try to win here. Just, you know, forfeit your two games and go home and rest for a week and a half and then get out there and play in the games that matter. I don't know if people feel the same way about the softball tournament.
Man, I'm telling you, as a player, as a competitor, Phil, you give us a chance. You give me a chance to win an SEC tournament. We're going to show up and we're going to compete and we're going to try to win. That's just all. We don't want you out there if you don't want to try to win.
So another postseason that's already in is women's golf. And how about Arkansas women's golf yesterday? The winners of the Las Vegas Regional. They are the champions of the Las Vegas Regional, moving on now to the NCAA championships, which are hosted, I think, in about, what, like 10 days or so? Now, I don't understand this. How does this happen? It's at the Omni La Costa Resort in Carlsbad, California. The host are the Texas Longhorns.
They're the number one overall seed?
I don't know. Yeah. I just was reading on the NCAA website. This is a golf course and a resort in California, but yet the host are the Texas Longhorns. Can you help me make sense of this?
How many teams make it to the finals? 12 teams? How many regionals are there? They won the regional, the Vegas. So that's pretty good. I know the Arkansas golf boys and girls are pretty solid. Have you played the Blessings up there? Have you been around that Blessings golf course where they're practice facility?
I've driven by it a couple of
times.
It's
so beautiful. Yeah.
You've been on the course.
10 years ago. I haven't played it in a decade. But, yeah, it's played it one summer, got to play it, you know, half a dozen times. So it was pretty – man, you just want to talk about prestige, all that stuff, manicured. It's like it went to the nail salon, and every day, you know, there's not a leaf out of place. It's pretty cool.
Perfect mani-pedi. Sounds good.
That's right.
Now, keep in mind, Matt, I think the last time I played golf was the last time I even brought it up on the show at the Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that was at Chenal, huh?
At Chenal, yeah. I guess that was after last baseball season. So what, about 11 months ago? It's been 11 months since I played golf. You probably don't find too many people who haven't played in about a year that get onto the Blessings. That's just my guess. Though if anybody wants to bring me out there, I'll be, you know, maybe I can ride in the cart and make a couple of comments here and there, and maybe you'll even let me hit a ball or two, because I can actually swing it just a little bit on the driving range, which is quite a bit different than getting out on the court or out on the course. JT accused me of, just Arkansas media, of overhyping Arkansas's batting lineup. Yeah, maybe so. Here's the thing about it, though. All you're going by is what their track record had been. You know, you get guys like Wilmsmeyer that had hit over 300 in the SEC last year. Same with Ross Lovich, by the way. Not just an overall batting average. He hit over 300 in the SEC. Going off of that, going off of the idea of what Kendall Diggs had done all year last season as the number one run producer, going off the idea that Ben McLaughlin is a guy that can hit, that Jared Sprague-Lott was a run producer at his previous stop, and Hudson White had hit at Texas Tech. So I always feel like when overhype goes along when hype goes into a season where at least this one part of the team isn't working out the way that I thought it would, and I'd say the coaches would say the same thing about what they thought about the group of hitters. All you're going by is what they had done before. So, I don't know. People get mad when they accuse you of overhyping something, as if you promised them something that didn't actually happen. I try not to promise too many things, except the idea that this team is good enough to compete, to play in Omaha, to make it to Omaha, compete, win there, and maybe win, and maybe compete for a national championship. So we'll see if it happens. And this weekend, I think, will tell you a little bit, because you got a hot Mississippi State team that's coming in that is a really good pitching staff. And, oh, by the way, there is a decision from the pitching rotation coming up for this weekend, and I'll get into that in just a moment because I do have some thoughts on that.
Hickey and Hole Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey and Hole Law Partners, specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation, or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, Bathhouse Row, and the hiking and biking trails of the National Park. Visit ArlingtonHotel.com for more info.
Should start with Bob.
It's time to talk with the unique individual.
You said you and Diva are OGs, old guys. Brett, you spoke so positively recently. I mean, did you expect this to happen?
He's a man of mystery.
Why do you always talk about Arkansas? But go ahead.
Well, why do you always talk about Kentucky?
Hey, it's Bob again. I think I'm unmuted now. I figured it out.
Man, you win the lottery three times, get to go to Starkville.
A man whose incisive questions and rapier wit.
Hey, John, did I add a two-parter if that's okay?
What did you mean? I'm sorry. I'm not that good.
Man, we got to get the Packers straightened out. Listen to the Jets. That ain't in Lambeau. That ain't good.
That placed him on the Mount Rushmore of Arkansas sports writers.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, Bob. The future in that, yeah.
Here he is, the one and only Bob Holt.
Hey, guys.
Bob, good afternoon. How you doing today? Do we have
Hello?
Bob? Yeah, I got you. There you are. Bob, what's up? You got a voice.
Yeah. No, it's a beautiful day here in Fayetteville after kind of a rough weather last night. Looks like it's going to be really nice for the Mississippi State Series.
Yeah, thank goodness, too, after... I mean, even last weekend, it felt like we were going to be dodging raindrops, so it's good that we don't have to worry about it this weekend. And no change in the Arkansas starting pitching rotation, although, you know, the way that David talked about the Gage Wood last Saturday, it did make people think that there might be a change on the horizon. It's just not happening this weekend.
That was really the first question we asked them. I think that's what everybody really wanted to know, and I certainly wasn't advocating to make a change, but it was Dave that had brought up that Gage might be in a position to take somebody's job. But obviously Hagen Smith is pitched as well as anybody in the country, and you're not going to take him out of that spot. And Brady Tiger didn't have a good start last week, but he's pitched pretty well before that. Mason Molina's got really good stuff. He just had control issues, too many walks, but again, that's a guy who started all year, so do you really want to change that up this late in the season? Arkansas is not perfect, has some issues, but bottom line is they're 40-9 and 17-7 the SEC. So I think Dave's, and he's obviously won a few thousand more games than I have, probably made a good call here. And, as far as Gage Wood goes, it's like Dave said, he's thrown really well now, and he can, if one of those starters struggles, you can put Gage Wood in there early, and he can eat up some innings for you. He could close games, which he did last year pretty effectively. He can pitch middle relief, and so he's clearly got a role on this team moving forward. It could be starting later, if they're in a regional or SEC tournament, regional, super regional, whatever. Probably not a super regional because they only go three games. If they get to Omaha, he'd be a key guy. So no rotation change, as you said.
Was there any kind of an update about Kendall Diggs? Because, he was chasing a home run in right field on Sunday and in Lexington and leapt at the fence, and it looked like he did something to his shoulder. Now, he stayed in the game, but he was still rubbing that shoulder. I think he got another at-bat, still was able to swing and looked okay. It's just, you always wonder about it days after, and he'd already been dealing with a shoulder, so it was something that worried me.
Yeah, that's a concern. I mean, to Kendall's credit, I think he drove in a run there in the ninth inning. I could be wrong with that, but yeah, Dave brought that. I guess at this point you'd have to say he's maybe questionable for Friday night's game because, Dave said he don't want him playing unless he's 100%. And said in yesterday's practice, Kendall just played, did defensive drills, did not swing the bat. They're going to swing the bat today, see how it feels. And, if he swings the bat today and it feels good, that's great, but then how does it feel tomorrow, How's it feeling in BP Friday before they play? But it's an injury he actually suffered I think Matt Jones figured this out. Not your Matt Jones, but our ADG Whole Hogs Matt Jones, that this happened in the second game of doubleheader against McNeese State on March 9th. He was sliding into second, I guess it was, and jammed his shoulder. And Dave said he's seen that happen, you know, a lot to different guys, and that it can be an issue. And I think it's been nagging Kendall. And I know they gave him they didn't have him play against Texas Tech in a midweek series a couple weeks ago, and he, you know, did some damage against South Carolina. But as you said, he aggravated it in that third game against Kentucky. And so Dave said it's bothering him, but he does say it feels better now than it did on Sunday. And so he's obviously a big bat. Dave said, you know, injuries, they can be, obviously they're physical, but they can be mental too. And Dave brought up thinking, well, I can't swing at that pitch, or I can't hit that pitch because of my shoulder. You know, he said if that's an issue, then they need to play somebody else and let Kendall heal up. And so it's a tough thing, because obviously you want his bat in the line. If he's a key guy, he's a veteran guy, he's a big run. Even with all the issues he's had, he's still third, I think, on the team in RBIs with 32. But his average has dropped like from 350-some to 240-something since this injury happened. So clearly that's a factor. And so it'll be really interesting to see if he's in the line tomorrow night. And if he is, based on what Dave said, that means his shoulder's feeling. And Dave said, you know, he wants Kendall to be straight with him. And, you know, players want to be tough and play through things, and that's commendable. But at this point, it'd really be best for Kendall, I think, and the team, if hopefully he'll be straight with Dave. And if the shoulder's not 100%, he'll say, yeah, I need more time, because the team's obviously, you know, going to be in a regional, and like it's safe to say they're going to host. So at this point, you want to win games and win the SEC and all that, but it's probably more important to make sure Kendall gets that shoulder right for the postseason.
Well, I was going to say, do you move Peyton Holt over to right field and then put Willsmeyer at center field, or who goes to right field?
Yeah, we didn't talk about that. You know, Peyton Holt has played right, left, center, you know, and he's obviously played the infield. And so, you know, I don't know all the pitching analytics. I'm not even positive who Mississippi State's going to start, though Steven has been their number one starter the last couple of weeks, although they have two guys that are really, really good. The other guy, Phil can probably say his name. I'm going to try to pronounce his name. The other guy, they're both flamethrowers. They have a ton of strikeouts. But, yeah, that's one thing nice about Peyton is you can put him wherever you want him out there in the outfield. Wilmsmeyer is obviously an A-plus center fielder, so maybe you do Lovich in left, and we'll put Wilmsmeyer back in there at center, even though he's struggling, obviously, to get on base, and then have Holt there, because, you know, you want a guy who can drive in some runs or get on base or whatever, but you also want a guy that can save you some runs, which a guy like Wilmsmeyer can do in the outfield. And so, yeah, that'll be interesting to see how Dave mixes and matches, because, like I say, I don't know the matchups against certain pitchers, or how this guy is doing his lefties or righties or whatever. But, you know, with Peyton Holt out there, he does give you some good options, because he literally can play all three spots. And if he needs to, he can move within a game if you want to pinch in or pitch run or whatever.
Gerangelo Saintja is the name of their usually the second pitcher, the switch pitcher, the guy that has the six-fingered glove and will throw with both hands. And something that I know we saw last year, but it's just it's a lot different to watch somebody pitch like that. Now, Bob, there's a couple of numbers from this Mississippi State team that would, you know, I think would just at least be concerning going into this weekend. They have the second-best earned run average in SEC games, second only to Arkansas. They hold left-handers in the SEC to a .241 average, righties .235. They're a pitching staff that's not quite, at least statistically, as successful as Arkansas is this year, but pretty good. And they are the best clutch-hitting team in the SEC. Let's see. It's a .332 batting average in the league with runners in scoring position. And one of the things about Arkansas that's just mind-blowing, their league record, 17-7, but they're hitting under .190. With a runner at second or third base. And these are usually not numbers that go together with a winning team that's, you know, 10 games over .500 in the most difficult league in college baseball.
Well, yeah, I think that speaks to Arkansas's pitching and their defense. They've had issues defensively here and there. Catch that wasn't made, or maybe double play that wasn't turned or whatever. All teams have that from time to time. But Yeah, I think it just really speaks to their how good their pitching's been and how reliable their defense has been. And you know, they won a lot of one run games, right? I think last time we checked, they were 10-2 in one run games. So they're winning the close ones, which is what you have to do to have a good league record usually. But yeah, Mississippi State. I mean, you know, everybody thinks in the West, they think Arkansas, and they think A&M, because you know, both those teams were ranked number one at various points. Well, now it's Tony Vitello's Tennessee Vols, I think, that are up there. But Mississippi State, they're coming on. They've won 7 of their last 9 in the league. They're 14-10, and Arkansas is 17-7. So if I'm Mississippi State, I'm thinking, man, if we go in there and I know Arkansas is, you know, what is it, 31-2 at home? So the idea of sweeping 3 games from is probably, you know, insane. But still, if you're Mississippi State and you're high, you're thinking, hey, if we go in there and sweep these guys, we'll be tied with them. And, you know, Dave talked about how Mississippi State's one of the teams in the league right now you don't really want to talk about. And then Dave sounded like some fan on Twitter where he said, the Arkansas are just kind of getting by. And after Hagen, their pitching hadn't been as good. They're not hitting. And all I could think was, that's the same stuff I read on social media. But, you know, but it's not like Arkansas is falling apart. I mean, they were 5-4 in their last 9 games, which is not championship baseball if you do that consistently. But they haven't just fallen off a cliff. Sometimes you see, you know, Kentucky's leading the league, but they survived a 1-5 stretch in league play. You know, Arkansas done winning most of these series, you know. So but you're right, Mississippi State's a very dangerous team.
Bob, there's a good one in the NBA tonight and has some Arkansas guys in the mix. The Dallas Mavericks at the OKC Thunder. The Thunder just put on an absolute masterclass in game one and never let Dallas get comfortable. It's pretty cool to watch the former Razorbacks, any guys from Arkansas. Gafford had a double-double. You got the two kids from Northside that are playing role players. Will you be checking that out? How do you see that one going, Bob?
Oh, yeah, it's really fun to watch those guys play. I think the other night Gafford had a block on Jalen Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's pretty cool. And Jalen, I tell you, Jalen had a great game. I think he played 17 minutes and he had 11 points, maybe 9 boards and 2 assists, something like that. I mean, you're thinking, talk about a productive, efficient 17 minutes. And Isaiah, you know, made some plays. And, of course, Gafford, he's been a great pickup. I can't remember who Dallas sent to Washington, but Gafford's been a huge addition. So I really thought going in that, maybe we talked about this, I thought that Dallas, and maybe I still do, I guess I have to stick with it, I think Dallas won that series because I just like their experience.
Mm-hmm.
Although, man, Oklahoma City, you know, you got to love how those young guys are playing. And, you know, they're really a complete team. You can see how good their chemistry is. But I do think Dallas maybe has more talent overall or more star power. But Oklahoma City is just such a good all-around team. So that'll be really interesting. But, yeah, I mean, it'd be a big game for Dallas to get on the road. And it'd be a big game for OKC to protect that home court so it's not even going to Dallas. But, yeah, I think it's a great series if you like the NBA, two really good teams, especially a really young, exciting team in Oklahoma City. But if you're an Arkansas fan, it's really cool. And I don't know if you have to pick sides, but you can just enjoy watching those Razorbacks play.
Bob, I don't know if you've heard the podcast, but you might have read what your colleague Anthony Christensen wrote in the Democrat and Whole Hog Sports today about the Calipari podcast that he does with Craig Robinson, which is titled Ways to Win. And they went in a little more detail on some of the stuff that Cal talked about this year's Arkansas team coming up. And interestingly, he refers to the idea that he only really wants, quote, 8 or 9 guys, unquote. You can have 13 scholarships, but it sounds like he's looking at just 8 or 9 guys. That's his terminology. I don't know if that means you're not using all the scholarships or whatnot, but, you know, and he tells him the reason is because guys leave anyway, and he doesn't want to develop somebody for someone else. So, you know, we had Moss was a guy that would be on a rotation of what, 6 to 7? Well, it looks like Cal may end up being in very much the same idea, if maybe not another player or two.
Yeah, well, you hope it doesn't turn into what happened this past season where, you know, Eric tried, I lost track. I mean, I think they had 13 or 14 different combinations and everybody, which I, you know, it's commendable. Eric gave everybody a shot because whatever they were trying wasn't working for a lot of the season. But, But, yeah, I think Cal kind of has an NBA approach to things, which is where you have a tighter bench. And, you know, I think there's been years Kentucky didn't have a full scholarship allotment. And now with NIL, you got to ask yourself, okay, we've got enough NIL to play to pay 10 guys. You know, it's about playing guys. It's about paying guys, right? So how big is it? And so, yeah, this guy would be a nice addition. But, honestly, we don't have any money left for him. I mean, it's kind of like a GM putting an NBA team together, or whatever the pro sport might be, is, you know, maybe there's not a salary cap where each team can only spend this much, but there's a salary cap in terms of how big a bankroll does a program have to pay guys. And so it may be that they don't really have enough for 12 or 13 guys, which is okay as long as, you know, they don't get ravaged by injuries, because you're not going to play 12 or 13 guys anyway. But I did read the story, and I honestly did not know he had a podcast. And I think that guy, Robinson, I think he's Michelle Obama's brother, who used to coach Oregon State.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So that's kind of interesting. But I didn't know Cal had a podcast, so that's kind of cool.
Hey, Bob, what's the latest? Do you think this kid that's 28 years old that went and played in the bigs for a few years? I think he tried for about a decade. He's coming into the team as a preferred walk-on. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, Monty Harrison. Well, I think it's a cool story, and I saw some people on social media. Richard Davenport did the story for us. Did a great job, as he always does. And there were some comments, and it got a lot of national play. I had a guy from AP call me asking about it, trying to get some details. And so it was really a national story because of his age and the fact that he did play in the big leagues a little bit, and obviously a lot of minor league ball. But I saw some people say, "Oh gosh, I can't believe we've fallen so far that we have to sign, you know, a 28-year-old guy who hadn't played football in 10 years. Well, this guy's not taking up a scholarship. He's a walk-on, as you said. He added in his baseball contract that I'm not sure which organization. I'm trying to remember who drafted him. I know he played with the Angels, you know, but it's in his pro contract that they will pay for his school. So that's great. And no offense to Monty Harrison, the guy, I don't think he's probably getting any NIL money. And so, to me, if this guy comes in and plays, that's great. If he doesn't play, well, he's a walk-on. And whatever happens, I don't know if he could have a role on special teams or in your receiver rotation or what, but how great to me, at least this is the way I look at it, how great is it to have a 28-year-old guy who's been playing professional sports for 10 years that comes into your locker room, and what a great role model and example for your young guys. Even with all the NIL and the COVID stuff and guys being 23, 24, this guy's 28, so he's older than all of them, you know. And so he can impart life wisdom on them, how to you know, take care of yourself, how to be a pro, how to take care of your body, how to be ready to practice hard every day. You're just the daily grind. I mean, there's nothing more of a daily grind than baseball. And so I never met the guy. I think he's married, has a child, so he's obviously a very mature person. And so, to me, he'd be a great role model for these guys, regardless of what he does, because he can show them what it's like to be a pro athlete. Which, and we know that the lines between pro and college are getting more and more blurred. And so, I think it's a great addition. It'd be great, obviously, better if he plays for you. But if he doesn't, I still think it's a good addition. Like any fans are looking at this, like it's a desperation move. I think they just don't understand.
Bob, we'll leave it there. Appreciate you as always. We'll see you at Baum Walker this weekend.
Okay, sounds good. You guys take care.
Thank you, Bob.
Bob Holt, Democrat Gazette, gives us some of his time each Thursday, and we always appreciate that.
Eastside Liquor has every alcohol you need as we get close to summer. Green River Bourbon and Rye is flying off the shelves right now. Come check out the new Crystal Ridge Moonshine and Vodka, made right here in Hot Springs. Eastside Liquor, 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith.
BetOnline is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
We go to Brett Dolan on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. And speaking of softballers, he's got one that I'm sure you wouldn't mind bragging about too, Brett, right?
Well, I do love my softball. I love the yellow ball in addition to the smaller white one. So, you know, the springs are always a little bit chaotic when you're kind of jumping back and forth between all the baseball and softball seasons.
Yeah. And your daughter, though, she's been recognized as one of the top players in her region. I know sometimes we've talked to you while you've been at the softball field.
Yeah, I think I've even made you watching a batter, too, on the iPad. Yeah, she was her district MVP. So, I'm proud of her. She played at the same high school that Kevin Copps did, so it's a pretty high level. And in Houston, there's a neighboring district that's 5A, we're 6A, and their best player will be here at Arkansas next year. She's that good, and Kate will be in D2 in Topeka, Kansas at Washburn. But she's had a good run, so I get to jump into the summer season here pretty soon and start following her around the country when I can.
You know, you just mentioned about the yellow ball. Did you see about, so everyone's, not everyone, you got the Savannah Bananas that have created a whole new thing about baseball, and there's another, I think it's a college summer wooden bat league team that is making a new way to play baseball in the dark with, like, glowing uniforms, glowing bats, and a glowing ball. I've seen, I guess I'd call it a trailer of what a game like that would look like. I've also seen baseball played with tennis balls and tennis rackets, so there's a lot of new versions of the game played. I just wouldn't imagine you can play it in the dark.
Sounds rather Bill Veeckian right there.
It does.
Summer League. I got my son going off to the Appy League for an internship to work there. I don't think they're doing it because they're MLB affiliated, but maybe I'll have to pay a little attention to who's trying this out.
How old did you feel? I saw you tweet about this recently. It was 25 years to the day of Kerry Wood's famous 20 strikeout game against the Houston Astros. Now, you know what that means? That means it's 25 years to the day to when I was sitting in Milwaukee County Stadium watching Tony Gwynn hit a ninth inning home run to force extra innings, but the Brewers won. I was at the Cubs game the night before Kerry Wood struck out 20. Ooh. I missed that by one game, but I didn't realize. Did you call his, was it a double A debut or a triple A debut?
Yeah, it was AAA. I think it was 26 years ago. It was 1998, so that was my first year working with the Iowa Cubs in AAA. Our opening day starter was Kerry Wood, and we knew we weren't going to keep him around very often, but he had one start, 5 innings, 11 Ks. He goes up. I think he pitched against Montreal or whatnot. I actually went to see him make his first start at Wrigley, I think, and then a week after that, he had the 20-strikeout performance, maybe one of the greatest pitch performances, even though it wasn't a no-hitter in baseball history. And then when you kind of reflect back and you think, 26 years? Really? I mean, I guess it feels like a long time ago. I mean, he has kids now that I'm calling some of their baseball events through Perfect Game and whatnot that are 17, 18 years old. But, boy, time flies. 2.5 decades can go by in a blink of an eye.
Yeah, no kidding. How many games are you on the call for Arkansas-Mississippi State this weekend?
We've got two, so we had a chance to visit with Chris Lemonis today and kind of get ready for this series. I'm excited to have the first two Friday and Saturday. I will say, Phil, you and I are both media members, but we enjoy when the teams do well. We understand the fan base. If I was strictly a fan, I'd probably be a little bit anxious. I feel like State's playing really good baseball as of late.
Yeah, no, Kev, they announced what they did. Did Lemonis say anything about what their rotation looks like? Because, you know, they've been pretty steady as far as Kyle Steven and Gerangelo Sancha, but they've started Brooks Auger or Evan Sieri more in the SEC in the third game. Did they tell you anything about that?
Yeah, he said still TBA. Auger's a candidate. He's pitched well. And their pitching staff, much like Arkansas, has been really good. And their Friday and Saturday pitchers have been outstanding. Now, he does have Nate Dome, who's kind of his Friday guy who's been hurt, that he might throw for a couple of innings. And maybe that Sunday is the start. Maybe that's in relief. He also has last year's number two starter who went through Tommy John that's available in relief as well. So, you know, it's also, Phil, not just a team that pitches well, but this is where it feels like a lot similar to Arkansas. They defend extremely well. Their defensive numbers are good. It's kind of been the one consistent aspect of their team. To me, it feels like Arkansas, of course, has been pitching in defense as well. Both of these teams are similar programs, and Dave went over this today when I was able to jump on his conference call. Is it pressure versus expectation, and how do you handle it when the fans expect you to win and win big, and when you lose, the sky's falling? State goes through that same thing, and they're really fighting to host, where Arkansas is trying to stay in that national seed conversation, if not lock it up, and then maybe win an SEC regular season championship or a West. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun this weekend.
You know, where these teams really do differ. Now, the pitching staffs, there's a lot of similarity there. Offensively, Mississippi State is not like the most powerful team. The Hogs have hit more home runs than they have, but they have they have a couple of guys that are consistent run producers. Thinking of Dakota Jordan and Hunter Hines. Jordan's the right fielder. Hines is the first baseman. Both are hitting for power. Both are driving in runs on a consistent basis. And that's a clutch hitting team. Like, they've got the highest average with runners in scoring position in the league, while the Hogs are on the bottom. I mean, the very bottom of that very important number in SEC games. And you're still looking for somebody to be a consistent run producer. Like, I think the team, what Arkansas doesn't struggle at, it's not a matter of getting men on base. It's bringing them home. They get guys on base. They just leave a lot of them on base.
They do, and it kind of, I feel like when I cover Arkansas softball team and baseball team, there's so many similarities. And where the similarities come is pitching and defense and getting people on base, not necessarily scoring to the level we would think. And I think that both softball and baseball, and this is more of a baseball conversation, you still need to hit home runs. And I know when you get to a regional and you don't homer and you lose, everybody says, it can't be a team that relies on home runs. But what's the easiest way to freaking score? It's hit the ball over the other side of the fence. This team has not done it to the level I thought they would. Now, Diggs hasn't been quite healthy, and there's been some other issues, and there's hitters like McLaughlin and Stovall that are good hitters, but maybe not power hitters. You know, a couple of three-run homers certainly wouldn't hurt as far as affecting a few of those numbers, and maybe this is the week, although, again, a very good pitching staff. And you're right, though, Phil. I think you start talking about whether it's clutch hitting or leaving runners on base or whatnot. Part of the conversation for Arkansas this year has been looking at the games they've lost, where it's been 2-for-12 with runners in scoring position. For a series, it's 5-for-35 or whatnot. Sometimes that becomes just kind of a block, too, where, you know, you're aware of it. Everybody's trying to get the key hit and change that dynamic or that narrative. But that's obviously a concern because they aren't homering enough to overcome some of that.
Any surprise that Mason Molina is staying in the rotation for this weekend instead of Gage Wood moving into the rotation? And why do you think that they're keeping it identical from what it's been almost the entire season?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a surprise. I think the one thing Dave used, and he was a man of few words, he just said they're healthy, they're ready, they're ready to go, they're feeling good, I'm not going to make a change. I think that he's still... The fun part about Dave, and this is where it's both relating to young kids and also being a 30, 40-year veteran, is the ability to motivate. And sometimes you got to motivate a little bit by fear, like you're going to lose your job, or, you know, he's not afraid to change lineups or to tell guys he's going to start the toughest guy for the second game of a doubleheader, whatever it is, to push the right buttons. And I felt like he was starting to push a little bit, maybe for Mason or even Brady. And obviously you want that rotation to be good, because if you aren't hitting at quite the level you want and your pitching's not as good as it was a month ago, that's a little reason for concern. So I'm a little bit maybe surprised, but it doesn't mean that we won't see Gage Wood, I would say, for 3 or 4 innings in some key situations, whether that's Saturday or Sunday, whether it's in the 3rd or 4th inning or whether it's in the 6th and maybe trying to finish a game.
It's an important series for many reasons, you know, against Mississippi State, and it's like independent of the standings. It's the last time they're playing at home until a regional. You know, going on the road to A&M, that's going to be really difficult. And whatever happens in the SEC tournament has no bearing on what happens after that. None whatsoever. We've seen so much proof that anything that happens in Hoover, whether bad or good, doesn't carry over. It's almost like limbo, you know, or purgatory, you know, waiting for what's next. You got to play well at home, especially the fact that they have played so well at home this year. It's just, I think this is the best team that's coming into Baum Walker to play them. You know, I mean, I think the best team they've played this year is Kentucky. You could say South Carolina or Alabama too, were our teams that have played at a high level at a point this year. There haven't really been very good SEC teams that have come in to Baum Walker, at least record-wise. This is the best one that's coming in.
You're right. And maybe at the beginning of the year, I think even national television did the same thing. I mean, there's games against LSU and Ole Miss that probably weren't the biggest games of the week. They anticipated them being so, and LSU and Ole Miss and others haven't necessarily lived up to their billing. And all of a sudden, here comes State. Maybe we gave up on them early in the year, and here they are. And I think you're 1,000% right. This is the best team coming into Baum Walker this year. And next week with A&M, listen, I mean, I think even Dave said they are the most complete. They might be the best team in the SEC right now. So you know, Dave and his staff talk about the race to 15 wins, which they feels like gets them into a regional without any questions asked. To me, it's kind of a race to 19 or 20 wins now so that you lock up a national seed and you take care of business. And boy, two wins this weekend would be great, because then next weekend doesn't become quite as imperative to being a top eight. And as you mentioned, the conference tournament, I think, is fairly irrelevant as far as that goes.
Well, and it's also that, I mean, just look at the D1 baseball projections. They've got Arkansas and Mississippi State regionals matched up against each other. Like, so A&M, Kentucky, those are teams you wouldn't play until the College World Series. Mississippi State, you might see them the second week of the postseason.
It feels like South Carolina a few years ago. Maybe it's been more than a few now. But, you know, there's so many SEC teams that want to be in the top 16 or whatever that you're going to eventually line up with SEC teams. And I think it was Kentucky last year. Weren't they at LSU for a Super? So
there
could easily be a scenario where you face an SEC team in a Super Regional. My goodness, would you love to have that at home? I would love it to be anybody else other than an SEC team. But yeah, you're right. You're kind of playing for positioning, not just to bolster your case, but to kind of push some of the SEC teams away from you and away from that top 16.
All right, let's end on something that we got into earlier this week, the idea of beefs, you know, with Drake and with, are you familiar with the Drake Kendrick Lamar beef? Are you following any of this?
A little bit. Help me out.
They don't like each other. Let's just leave it at that. But we brought up sports beefs, and I couldn't help but just a moment ago think about one of the all-time great beefs, and it's not on the field. It's in the booth, and it's, I think we might have brought this up on the show when you've come on before. It's with a former colleague of yours, and you might even call him a mentor, too, in Milo Hamilton, longtime voice of the Astros, and Harry Caray. Now, I think they had a beef that lasted probably into the afterlife.
Yes, it might still be going. The funny part was, you know, there was a time when they were both working for the Cubs, and one would be on radio and one would be on TV at the same time. It would be like if we disliked each other and we switched in the fourth innings, but we'd have to walk down that hallway in the fourth inning and pass each other. You know, maybe we'd elbow each other and nudge or ignore or grunt or whatever the case may be. It's fascinating to think that, you know, you could have people that work so closely together that really don't care for each other, but you know our profession, Phil. The egos are big, and we come from an era where there's a lot of people calling games, but back then, there was kind of like one big voice for every team, and they were competitive even when they weren't playing against each other.
Brett, appreciate your time, man. Always fun talking to you. We'll see you at BUM tomorrow. Thank you.
You know it.
Brett Dolan from RSN, from Perfect Game, and I'm reminded also of Hank Greenwald, longtime voice of the San Francisco Giants and the San Francisco Warriors, and in his great autobiography, which is called This Copyrighted Broadcast. He's quoted in there saying, "Insecurity runs high in the booth," unquote. And I, it really does.
Brock Meyer and Joe Buck.
That's exactly right. They had beef that goes to the afterlife.
Do they say Joe Buck yourself?
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
The baseball team that's going to be playing in the dark, Big Mike and Waldron, thinks it's black lights that they're playing underneath. You better make sure you got some clean uniforms. And anybody sitting in the stands, make sure your laundry is fresh, okay? Otherwise, we're going to see stuff on your clothing that nobody needs to see.
It'd be tough to play, I think, baseball like that. But have you ever been to one of those golf courses that you can play golf at night?
Does Top Golf count? No.
Well, there's a course in Memphis. I know there's a course over there in Oklahoma, La Fortune, maybe. That's the track over there.
And they do it's
like 11 o'clock at night or something. I mean, the thing is, Phil, it's so hot at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's like I can't. But then you can go get your exercise around 8 or so, you know, 7, once the sun kind of goes down a little bit.
Remember, so Brett brought up that was very I can't remember the name of the owner. Anyway, the Indians, But it was also a thing that Charlie Finley did, that he wanted to use yellow baseballs. This was the same owner that wanted to pay all of his players to grow mustaches when that was a sign of
fertility.
Well, also a sign of just going against the older folks. And he wanted to play with yellow baseballs too, but that was supposed to be a Major League Baseball thing. That would have been kind of ugly. The yellow softballs look fine for softball. It would just be a little bit weird, kind of ugly looking for baseball. And it's Vec. Yes, thank you very much, Bill. Brad, I knew who Bill Vec is. Just couldn't remember his name. Same guy that threw that Eddie Gaedel bat, the shortest player in the history of the sport. What was he? He was a midget, so I don't know how tall he was, but he drew a walk. Same guy that did that. It would make sense that he would want the glowing baseballs too. Matt, what happened in the Champions League yesterday? We have our all German final?
Oh yeah, the Pokal. It did not end up that way. The Canadian Alphonso Davies scored one in somewhere around the 60th minute. And then Real Madrid magic. It was it's so funny too, Phil. It was like a journeyman. It wasn't a Galactico. It was a sub. He was on loan a couple years ago. But he grew up there, and he's at the end of his career, and he came in, and Manuel Neuer is supposed to be considered one of the best goalkeepers. He made a blunder. He threw it out for no reason, should have held on to it, and then came back and spilled it right to him. And then they scored another one like 2 minutes later. It was absolutely theater, drama at its finest. It's pretty cool. So it's you'll get Dortmund versus Real Madrid, which would be like, it's the haves and the have-nots is what it is. I mean, you could do the payroll. You can do everything you want
to
say.
We've got our Cinderella to root for here.
Exactly, exactly.
Dortmund is the Cinderella.
The yellow brick, the yellow brick wall.
You were about to go with the yellow brick road.
For your boy, Sir Elton, who's a Watford fan. But Real Madrid is where Galactico came from. That's a Real Madrid Galactico.
It's where Five Star was invented.
It's first class or no class.
Colton, congratulations for making it through an entire episode of Halftime without blushing too much.
It was a great experience. I'm happy and humbled to be here.
Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow if you can make it through another 3 hours. I know I will. I know Matt will. We just question whether you will. That's Halftime for a Thursday. Download the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast and stay tuned for Ruskin and Zach. And we'll see you tomorrow for another award-winning edition of Halftime. For Coco, for the C-Unit, and for Matt, I'm Phil. Get up, get out, and get better.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.